We've all got people that influence us, like whether that's personal, that's on YouTube, that's books they write or whatever. And so these are people that we use, that we run to when we need kind of questions answered. So we're going to offer those and those people and those resources to you. John, have you seen the new Spider-Man trailer?
I have not.
Oh, man.
It looks kind of sick.
Oh, man.
It looks kind of sick.
Yeah, we were... Yesterday, Lucas was talking a little bit about it, but I have not seen it. Is this one... Tom Holland's going to be in this one, right?
Yeah, and it comes after No Way Home, so everybody forgot that he's...
Everybody forgot
that he's Spider-Man. It looks kind of dark, but yeah. I think it'd be pretty good.
I remember watching that in... I didn't watch it in theaters, but I watched it at home because I went through and watched all the Marvel movies and everything.
The Tom Holland Spider-Man trilogy.
I like them. I'm a big fan.
I like them. They're good. It's not the best trilogy that Marvel has, but it's like...
It's up there.
It's like one of the better ones. Like people, those movies are really consistent.
People that hate on the Tom Holland and stuff are just haters because it is really
Tom Holland's
really
the best Spider-Man in my opinion because I think he captures the like... jittery, spastic high school Spider-Man that I think kind of makes Spider-Man.
And they did it good by starting him so young.
Yeah.
Like in high school, because Tobey Maguire, he was in high school as a grown man. Everybody was walking around 6'6" and mustached up and stuff, and he wasn't a high schooler.
Tom Holland looked 15. In the new Spider-Man trailer, we see how big Tom Holland's arms are?
Bro, he got some bulging shoulders.
He's kind of yoked.
Yeah. Isn't he like a gymnast? Oh my gosh. A gymnast?
Yeah,
I don't know.
He did stuff like that.
Those dudes are like insane.
Yeah, he's walking around looking like Ryan Doty for real, upper half.
but I know in the trailer he looks like a gym shark.
Yeah,
dude's popping off the screen, man.
I mean, look, I'm married
to a woman, but there's like this one scene where he's like grabbing something, and I'm like, yo,
if
his biceps are about to come off my phone screen.
If MJ's got another boyfriend, she's about to change real fast if he takes off his shirt.
That's right.
That ending though was pretty crazy. Let me ask you this. This is probably a stupid question.
Let me ask you this.
Which Marvel movie ending was better? Infinity Wars, where half the population...
That's not even a... Infinity War in this conversation because it's one of the best movie endings of all time.
I knew that was coming. I like the Spider-Man ending better.
It is.
I was mad at Infinity Wars. I was like, man, they lost.
But that's why it's incredible. Is because that movie the whole time... There are multiple times in that movie when you think the Avengers have won, even up to the final scene, Thor comes out of nowhere, throws Stormbreaker, it hits Thanos in the chest, and you're like, Thanos is like kind of barely alive, but you're like, wait, he stopped it, right? And he's like, you should have gone for the head, and he snaps, all right? And then no music, hardly any dialogue, you just start to watch most of the Avengers fade off, and then the movie's over. And Captain America, somebody comes up and says, what happened? And Cap goes, we lost.
Yeah.
Which he's famous for saying, you know, we'll win together. And he's like, we lost. And then the movie goes black screen.
Yeah. That's one of the toughest movie endings of all time.
Yeah,
one of the best scenes,
One of the saddest endings, I'm sorry to interrupt you, is whenever Tom Holland goes into the coffee shop,
sees MJ and his friend.
What's his friend's name? I can't remember.
Ned.
And then he just turns around and walks.
Totally agree with you that the ending of No Way Home is really good.
But Infinity Wars is better.
So I'm glad they're making a Spider-Man 4, because at the time we didn't know they were making a Spider-Man 4, right?
Yeah. No, I don't think so.
So I'm glad they're like carrying that plot, because it is really interesting to think like what's going to happen. But because like Bruce Banner's in it for some.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, like you'll see in the trailer.
Now, what is going to be the name of this fourth Spider-Man movie?
Brand New Day.
Brand New Day.
Which runs off of a original comic. So there's a comic runner, Brand New Day, where... Spider-Man makes a deal with Mephisto, and it clears his name. Basically, his name gets out, and the same thing happens. Mephisto clears his name, makes a deal, and nobody remembers him. Even at the time in the comics, he's married to MJ, and she doesn't even remember, so he loses everything. And so it's kind of running off that, not the storyline, but just like same kind of basis.
Yeah. But man, I love Marvel movies.
Man, they get me fired up.
We're back. We've got Spider-Man coming out in July. We've got Doomsday coming out December 18th. I'm going to watch Doomsday like 5 times over in a weekend. Yeah. I'm not even kidding.
Yeah, I still swear by it. We are 3 grown men, but 3 grown men will show up to the movie theater dressed in tights.
I promise I will.
And superhero outfits.
So let the record show there are 2 grown men that will do that. I don't read the comics. I just watch the movies. I don't dress up for it.
No, make it 5. Because I add Matthew Riker, shout out Big Wake Forest, and Gabe Chop Short. I mean, the Weather Boy.
Gabriel Chop Short, Weather Boy.
Yeah. Hey, Wilmington.
Does he go to Wilmington?
Hey, are they a good basketball team? Nah, because us three is giving them buckets. Yeah.
did they make the tournament, Gabe?
They did not.
Let me say on record, me, John Harmon, Cooper Short, Andrew Pong, and let me throw Marty Lovingood in there. You give us five, we're giving UNC,
UTW absolute buckets. We would have ran them out the gym. Son. Yeah.
Speaking of
Seahawks, aren't even a real bird.
I must say. Speaking of March Madness, who does Carolina play in the round of 32?
Man,
we're gonna move on to next subject because if not, you will hear me punch John in the face.
Look, man, here,
VCU.
Here's all I'm gonna say on record. Okay.
I'm not saying nothing.
People want to
say something.
No pun intended. People really want to dunk on Carolina after that loss last night, and they should have won the game.
That was a good wordplay.
Totally.
Right there. I like that.
If you're an actual Carolina fan, which Lucas and I, we are Carolina fans.
Man, I bleed light blue.
You weren't surprised by that game. We've watched a Hubert Davis coach team lose that game 15 times in 5 years. Like, disappointing? Sure. Shouldn't happen? Absolutely not. Was I surprised? Well, I mean, was I a little shocked? I was a little shocked because they were up by 19 at one point. Was I surprised that happened? I was not surprised. I've watched them crap away a game like that so many times that I've come to expect it. I mean, they've had early tournament exits 3 out of the last 4 years. So, yeah, it sucks that I have to just kind of sit here and take it on the chin. But as a Carolina fan, was I blown away by that outcome? I was not. I had them losing to Illinois Saturday anyways. I didn't think they would beat Illinois. So, it's highly unfortunate that Carolina basketball has fallen to the middle of the pack, but they were like fourth in the ACC, early tournament exit, mm-hmm. beat Duke once but got clapped by him the second time.
Lost to Clemson in the ACC tournament.
And this season was just strange. I mean, they beat Virginia, Duke, Kentucky, Kansas, went undefeated at home.
That's insane, actually.
And then this is how they end up. High highs and low lows from Hubert Davis, man.
But Caleb
that's what it's always been.
Caleb Wilson is on to bigger and better things.
This Hubert,
he's the real deal.
Hubert Davis has played in a national championship game and has beat Duke in the Final Four and has also missed the tournament twice. That's the kind of roller coaster Carolina basketball has been for 5 years.
Like, but he'll forever be remembered as the guy who beat Coach K in his last game.
Right. I mean, he beats Coach K in his final game on the road, a game they should have lost. He beats Coach K in the Final Four to play for a natty, almost wins a natty, even though they totally crapped the bed in the second half. And this same guy lost to VCU last night, like 5 years apart. I mean, it's almost hard to like even celebrate the highs because the lows are just inexplicable. Mm-hmm. So whatever, man. Whatever. I'll tell you this, though. I'm not trying to be that guy. But Duke is on notice. Natty or bust, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Natty or bust.
Yeah, they won't win it. Like, not trying to hate, but they just won't. Like, Duke's known for not getting it done, and they won't get it done. If they do, I'll be super surprised. Props to them. But, like, man, yesterday was scary.
Yeah. Look. Against Siena?
Siena's worse than VCU. And so, I'm just going to be by them. It's crazy.
Can I just say, though, I watched that whole game. I mean, I watched every single shot of that game. People that are hating on Duke for barely winning that game, but, like, low-key, one dude from Siena had a generational performance, and they shot like 70% from the field in the first half. So, it's March that kind of happens. I wouldn't really – one or two things is going to happen. Either Duke is going to keep squeaking by until they finally get got, or that was enough to piss them off and make them play well.
Yep.
Because even in the post-game presser, Shire and like three of their players were basically like, yeah, that wasn't good enough. Yeah. And we felt like we should have played better. So, either that's who Duke really is, which I don't believe that, or – that's going to light a fire under them, and they're about to go score 30 on Saturday.
Well, the thing about those
– or beat somebody, you know, by 30 on
these
Saturday.
Underdog teams, the reason they can always keep up with it is, like, they know they're not even supposed to be there to begin with. This is their shot at the big dog. And a lot of times these big dogs like Duke, they're going to get everybody's best punch. Well, they might be off one night like they were against Siena, and that's when those upsets really begin to happen, literally what happened with Carolina. So, I mean, Duke's got to be prepared for we're getting everybody's best shot. So, like, you know, we can't have an off day. And
all I'm saying is this. Like, I pray on Duke's downfall daily. Like, that's yeah. part of my time I spend with the Lord. But I'm also not an idiot, and, like, I refuse to be a sheep. Duke is an elite basketball team. So until someone actually beats them, I'm sorry, I just have to count on them to win. Like,
and they've lost two, right?
They've lost two. They lost a nut cutter to Texas Tech, and they lost a buzzer beater three-pointer by from Carolina at Carolina, right? So I want to see them lose, but I'm not going to walk around and act like they're going to, because we've watched them hardly do that all year. Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see. I hope they lose, but let's be honest, I ain't betting on it. I got them winning both of my brackets. So.
Oh, wow. And that's coming from a Carolina fan.
It is. I mean, look, it's March, man. It's March, man. We don't make.
If y'all can see Lucas's face right now, it is so red.
It's March, man. We don't make emotional picks. I'm a ball knower. No emotional picks. Okay.
You picked Miami to make it to the national championship
team. Emotional picks are for the preseason. It ain't preseason, man. It's the postseason. Start picking with your chest now. Go ahead, Lucas. Go ahead and say something.
I'm gonna say nothing. Well, whatever I'm thinking isn't holy right now, so we're gonna move on to talking about some Christian stuff. Man, I was happy talking about Marvel because I love Marvel. Then we went on to this crap. Man, if you get me going, we'll stay here for 20 minutes and I'm not talking. By the grace of God, He's holding me back.
Love
praise
you, bro.
The Holy
love
Spirit,
you, bro.
Man.
Love you, bro, for real. Well, anyways, that's not a good segue, but it's gonna be.
Bro,
the segue.
We probably need to pray before we start now. Like, holy smokes.
What we're talking about today, because we sort of had this conversation off mic before we started recording this podcast, is all of our, well, maybe not all of them, but maybe sort of our greatest hits list of our influences, whether they are people, their books, their study tools. All three of us work in ministry full time, and we get asked lots and lots and lots of questions. And so what we often find ourselves doing is going to particular people or pastors or thinkers or books or whatever, to sort of kind of give to our people, give to our students, give to our friends, and say, hey, man, this would be a really helpful tool, a helpful person to listen to. So that's what we're going to talk about. But the disclaimer that John was saying we need to offer, and I agree with him, is that ultimately what we would hope that you have in your life is a local church and a local church pastor that you sort of go to first. We're not saying if you have a question about this biblical subject and you're in John's youth group that you should go straight to the internet to find your answers sometimes. It is definitely good to go and talk to your pastor. But we're kind of talking from our perspective, like as we prep to teach, as we prep to lead, as we actually prep to answer, many of you that are listening, as we prep to answer your questions, who are people that have helped us think better, books that have helped us think better, tools that we use regularly, things like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So essentially like big influences in our life, because no matter what pastor you talk to, they're learning. And I don't want to say being discipled necessarily, but like there are people like authors or podcast people, you know, other pastors that they are influenced by.
Yeah.
Literally what we do on a daily basis, we bounce stuff off of each other all the time. So, you know, who are those people for us that hopefully, if you're not really sure where to start, maybe you can write some of these names down and maybe go check them out. Maybe you really don't like the way one does it. Maybe you really like the way the other one does. And so that can kind of get you started.
And probably the best way to frame this conversation is to put these things in categories. So category number one, first, let's talk about people. They can be personal or they can be like internet people. But let's talk about individual people that are like your influence, people you respect, people whose opinions you value, people whose opinions you sometimes look to help you formulate your own opinions and beliefs. Who are those people for you?
I'll start and we'll kind of go around the circle. But let me ask you this, Cooper, because let me ask you this.
It's really a triangle, but okay.
Yeah, that's a good point. Anyways.
Let me ask you this.
Do you have someone in your life who, like if they disagreed with something you believed, you would be more willing to kind of change your view because that person
believes for sure.
It?
Yeah, for sure.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like we all have at least one person like that. And for me, I will say it's my dad. Like if anytime me and my dad disagree, I guess just growing up with him, more than likely I was always wrong, or he could debate me super well because he's always good at playing devil's advocate. But he's somebody really influential that.
You hear that, Brad? John said you're good at representing the devil.
He doesn't know how to use technology. He's never going to listen to this.
But, you hear that, Brad? He said he don't know how to use technology.
No, he doesn't. But yeah, he was always one. And I'm not saying I agree with everything my dad believes, because we've even had conversations of disagreement, but I will say I'm always kind of pulled to lean his way a little bit more. So he's been a big influence for me.
I mean, yeah, I think like personal relationship wise, my parent, pretty much all of my immediate family has to be up there. Like my family's super tight, and I really value the things they say and what they think. I mean, I've had, particularly my mom and dad, I've had them help me think through so many things over the years. As it pertains to ministry, like being a pastor, Like, I've got the two of you. I mean, the three of us talk about things literally all the time. We got Matt GPT. I talk to Matt GPT probably every day. Caleb Clayton, one of my closest friends. I ask him questions all the time. And then I've got another sort of outer circle of like this network of guys that are also pastors working ministry that I hit up, you know, every once in a while to ask them questions. You know, that includes guys. No one's going to know who these guys are probably, but Aaron Swain, who works at Freedom Church, and Tommy McCluskey works at FBC Stanley. Jason Ballard on occasion, right? Thane Kendall. I asked Jeff Johnson lots of questions. I've talked to Jason Mills about stuff. Like, sort of the guys that I have, like, personal and professional relationship with because I'm a pastor, I would include those guys. So that's kind of like my personal category. I mean, I could go into more detail there, but
I love how you do that, though, your inner circle versus kind of your outer circle.
Yeah, because, I mean, like, you know, like you know, take, like, the three of us. Like, we're friends because we're friends. But we're also friends because we're all doing the same thing. And so that's sort of when the personal and the professional becomes like the middle of that Venn diagram gets really big. But yeah, I mean, I do like value what you guys think. I really care what Matt thinks about things I'm doing. I mean, when my friend Thomas was alive, I don't think I made a single big decision in my life over the course of 7 years without running by Thomas. Like, I just really cared what he thinks. And so
you and Cindy Kate would not be married without Thomas.
That's right. That's right. I mean, honestly, that's probably really true. Like, everybody's got to have those people. And so, yeah, so just personally, that would be my list.
But this can also, before Lucas tells
Let me ask you this.
This could also be extremely dangerous because you could have some really bad influences in your inner circle. I'm not saying any of us necessarily do, except for the people in this triangle right now. But if you're listening to this, and I want you to, you know, really evaluate the people that are your biggest influences, are they influencing you in the way that Christ would want you to go, or is it more of a worldly influence? Because that can be dangerous too.
Right.
So, all right, go ahead, Lucas.
Yeah, influence matters. I would say, jumping off y'all's two, mine are family first. We've covered that with y'all too. Mine are family. A lot of times I bounce stuff off my parents. I always have a thought about something. I'm like, hey, what about this? And we'll talk about it. When it comes to church decisions or something.
Can I just say really quickly, Lucas, I don't want to cut you off. Just want to acknowledge out loud for the three of us, we're extremely blessed to be able to say some of our biggest positive influences are our family.
Yeah,
that's right.
Like, we all have spent a ton of time in student ministry and in ministry in general, and we could roll off 25 kids that don't get to go home to a family like we've grown up with.
Yeah.
So just want to say shout out my parents. Y'all are the GOAT. We're extremely blessed. Shout out God and His providence.
Thanks.
That I am a Short, you are a Saldo, you are a Melton, because without them, who knows where we'd be. Anyways, go ahead.
Thanks. If you're a parent listening to this, one of our six parents, I did the math real quick. Thank God for y'all, because we are the men we are today because of God and because of you.
Which means that everything that sucks about Lucas, we blame David for. So anyways, go ahead. Yeah.
Shout out David Sato. Shout out Wendy Sato. Y'all are the GOATs. Love you. But our family, we've covered that. Y'all too, I think most of the time, because I'm the youngest, I bounce a lot of stuff off of y'all because I'm not in a pastoral role right now. I'm working on that, seeking that right now. So every thought I have, everything that I come across my mind that I may not agree with, or just need help working through, I come to y'all. Matt GBT is huge because he knows almost everything. He's read the dictionary probably.
No, I'm sure he probably has. Yeah. That's funny.
Other than that, it is like people in my own circle that I work with, like Jeff, like Jason, Brother Chip, people that are in my own circle that I work with that I can say, hey, what about this? Outside of that, my biggest one is Jason Ballard, like you mentioned.
What a GOAT.
Because I do lead a Bible study with him, and many of nights after we're done, we sit there for a while, and me and him just talk about stuff, because he's been doing this for a while, and now he's in a role.
He's an unk.
He basically pastors now, and so I can ask him some questions. Hey, how do I think about this? Or what can I do better about this? And he's super helpful because he's the GOAT.
Yeah.
All right, so sort of that's like 1A. 1B is like individual people, but they're like internet people. Like, maybe not people you know personally. Pastors, writers, whatever that you like revere their opinion. I've got like just a few. I really like a guy named Mike Winger. He has a YouTube channel. Yeah. Mike Winger thinks really long and hard about things that he's going to say or believe before he says them. Like, you talk about a dude that does his research. Famously, he has a whole YouTube series on sort of the theological components of women and their roles in ministry in the local church. And that whole set of videos and podcasts is like 30 or 40 hours, right? So really
deep thinker. Touch grass, Mike. Touch grass.
Yeah. I really value his opinion on, because, not because I always necessarily agree with it, but because I know he's coming from a place of deep thought and well-researched opinions. I'm admittedly, like most of the time, a pretty big John Piper guy. I wouldn't affirm everything he's ever said, but I do like Piper. Honestly, John MacArthur has been helpful at times for me. Like, I wasn't, rest in peace to Johnny Mac, I wasn't always a huge fan of his sort of delivery of everything he said, but his stuff's been helpful for me. You could roll through sort of the greatest hits of like the Reformed pastors of the last 15 years. I've taken a lot of cues from Vody Baucom. I've taken a lot of cues from R.C. Sproul. I've even taken some cues from Ligonier Duncan on occasion. I really like the guys at Nine Marks, like for pastoral stuff, because they've kind of thought about every question you would have as a pastor. I'm going to kind of put podcasts in its own category. Yeah. Like I got some people I could name from podcasting. I'm going to kind of put that over here, and we'll talk about that in a second. Mm-hmm. Probably one other guy that I really want to name is a dude who used to be a Christian rapper, and like in some ways still is, but actually has become like a Christian influencer, sort of like cultural commentator. His name's Ruslan, R-U-S-L-A-N. And he's one of the few people that really takes the time to talk about the intersection of Christianity and current events.
Yeah.
And I think he has a really sober-minded approach. I think he's really well-read.
A lot of people don't like Ruslan.
They don't.
A lot of people, he catches heat for some stuff.
But I really like him. I think he thinks really clearly about stuff. He's helped me sort of see a lot of things better. He makes a lot of really high-quality videos. And he kind of talks about everything. I mean, just in the last few years, he's talked about, you know, different political things happening in the United States. Yeah. He's talked about wars. He's talked about theological takes. He talks a lot about the entertainment industry. I think he approaches that in a really humble and God-honoring way, so I really like to listen to him. His name is Ruslan. And also, he's kind of like that in the stew. So
Those are
individual people that I don't necessarily know personally that influence me.
So you said you were going to separate podcasts. Are we coming back to podcasts?
Yeah, we'll come back.
Okay.
Yeah, because obviously my number one influential podcast is Caffeinated Christianity. Anyways. Oh, also Bible Belt Boys.
Yeah, shout out Caleb, man.
Shout out Caleb Clayton, Bible Belt Boys. Yeah, go ahead.
You'll go?
Yeah, I can go ahead. So I'll say overall there's many guys that I've listened to, I've watched, I have read, they've been super influential. Influential? Can't speak.
Influential.
Early morning. Number one, the man that I can just put above all for me, not giving him glory or nothing, we'll give God the glory, but R.I.P. Vody Baucom, man. I think he is the...
Just died recently.
Yeah, I think...
What a goat.
I think the reason why that I hold Scripture so highly from a preaching standpoint is because of him. Because, man, I remember watching the first ever sermon from him. I can't remember what it was, but I came across him. And I was stuck to the way he delivered the word, how he cared about the word, how he exposited the word. And so, man, I probably watched every sermon he's ever preached. And it's someone that I know that he cares about the word of God. And he throughout his life, man, he lived a life that was honoring to God by doing the work, which is from the pulpit. He did mainly, he lived in Africa and preached in Africa to pastors and taught pastors. Shout out the Founders Ministry. Such a guy that was so influential for me and still is, even as he has passed away. Other guys, I listen to Piper a lot. Some people don't like listening to Piper. They think he's
yeah, that's me. I could read him all the live long day, but I don't like to listen to him.
I like listening to him, personally. Especially in some contexts where he's at, like events, talking about a certain subject. He has a lot of things where he talks about subjects, and so I like listening to him there. Let me think real fast. I'm trying to think of who else I listen to that's super influential. You can say from a music standpoint, Lecrae has been super influential on me because the way he really raps or talks in a song about Christ.
Shout out to the GOAT, stuff, Lecrae.
He's been super influential.
I could honestly just say Christian rap music as a thing has been dramatically influential to me. Not because I get my theology from it, because you shouldn't ever really get your theology from music per se. It's sort of grounding me in my own walk with Christ. Got to put music up there with the best of them, for sure.
I will say, from book standpoint, like I have one right next to me in my book bag, R.C. Sproul has been huge.
Yeah.
A.W. Tozer has been huge. I'm trying to think of some other guys.
I love listening to Sproul talk.
Yeah.
Like,
did have an epic, like an epic preaching voice.
It reminds me of like John MacArthur, where he's just kind of calm, but also he's loud at the same time. I don't know, that don't make sense, but if you've ever listened to R.C. Sproul, his voice is peace, fun to listen to.
Facts.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's like all the good ones just passed away recently, man.
Yeah, men need to step up. Real talk. It's a podcast for another day.
Calf Christ would be the big one.
Step up. But
sure.
There's tons of guys that I've read, like even Ray Ortland, who's a younger guy. Like he's doing stuff in the game that's huge, and I like reading some of his stuff. Tons of books like that. I mean, I can mention a guy that has influenced all of our lives as a pastor, who is Brother Chip, who is
shout out John William Chip Sloan. Yeah. What a freaking dog.
Who I think that us three are the men we are today. Probably because we grew up in the church under the preaching of Brother Chip Sloan.
That is correct. I learned to love the local church because I went to Chip's local church.
Yeah, 100%. I remember sitting in the pew, seeing Brother Chip preach, and falling in love with it at a young age.
And realizing, like, I wanted to be him. Yeah.
Yeah, and even though I wasn't walking in with Christ, I could see that, man, Chip cares about this.
Chip's different, dude.
I'm starting to care about it, so.
Chip's different. That's for sure.
And he loves the Word of God.
Straight up.
He's real. I'm trying to think of some other guys. John, you can go ahead I think.
I'll go ahead. Y'all have really said all of mine so far. There were a few that I would add to it. Just in my personal ministry, like who do I like to listen to? Who do I like to read and stuff? Like, well, we'll come back to reading later. But John MacArthur is probably one of the biggest ones. Just his knowledge of things that he had was really good. I'm probably different than both of these guys because they like to do a lot more reading and commentaries type stuff. And I like to do commentary, but I like to listen to pastors too. Like whenever I'm at the house with like the babies.
Yeah, admittedly, I don't listen to hardly any preaching.
Well, see, I do. That's mainly what I do because I like to listen to styles and see how people do it differently. And so I'll just put the AirPods in and like go do a task while I'm listening to it. So I listen to a lot of stuff. John MacArthur is good, though he can be hard to listen to. He's always really good. I found a guy, I don't know how I even came across him, but his name is Paul LeBoutelier or something like that. Have y'all heard of him?
Mm.
He is a pastor in Ontario, Canada. And the way he preaches, like he just goes through the Bible and just, you know, section by section and just walks through it. But he's a guy that I really like to listen to.
Have fun with your free health care, Canada. USA runs you.
Nice maple syrup, Canada.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Okay. Vody Bachum, of course. Vody Bachum would just like, I'm being dead serious. If I ever am in like a down mood and I just want to be fired up, I would just type any Vody Bachum sermon. And he just fires me up every time I listen to him. Y'all, I don't think y'all mentioned him. Alistair Begg.
We did. I thought about him.
Alistair Begg.
I really like Alistair Begg.
Dude's got an epic voice.
Love his accent. Is it
Scottish?
Scottish or Irish? Something?
I'm pretty sure he's Scottish. And didn't he move to...
If you are Irish or Scottish or British, we're so sorry. We just offended you by getting those all mixed up.
We love you.
I think he's Scottish, I think.
But anyways,
stop eating beans for breakfast. That's gross. Beans and toast is nasty. Shout out Gabe. He's been there. He'll probably want to tell me that. So yeah,
shout out Cole Groves.
Yeah, shout out Cole Groves. Yeah, we know Gabe. You've been to the UK. All right, go ahead.
All right. Here's another one y'all didn't mention. Do y'all ever listen to Skip Heitzing?
I don't.
Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yes. I like vaguely know who you're talking about. I couldn't place anything I've heard from him.
The reason a lot of people don't really listen to him is he's non-denominational, so he doesn't, you know, he's not Baptist, and he's out in California.
Which is funny, because he probably actually is Baptist, if you were to be honest.
Well, listen to him and you hear the things that he believes, he matches, like, all the Baptist beliefs.
Yeah,
like, I think there was one thing he said that I didn't really agree with one time. But the reason I really like to listen to him is when he exposits the scriptures, his examples that he brings in and ties together are just absolutely phenomenal. Like, if I'm ever stumped on, like, how could I illustrate this or explain this better, I like to go listen to him because he's one of those that, like, he's not going to use very high up fancy language like a John MacArthur or Alistair Begg would that's more advanced or R.C. Sproul, but he just, like, says it plain as it can be and it registers very well.
Some guys have a knack for application. I do not. Yeah. I do not have a knack for application.
And see, I do at times.
I could stand up and lecture concept all the live long day, but my application's pretty bad. So
yeah,
that's because I'm really not a preacher. I'm not a very good preacher. I'm more of a teacher. So anyways, different discussion for different day,
styles of preachers then. Different styles of how we do it.
That's true.
And here's one that none of us said, I don't think, and you may have, I just didn't hear you. One other thing that's been influential for our reading, shout out Spurgeon, man.
Yeah, I was gonna get to that when we read.
Yeah, we Are we gonna talk about reading here in a minute?
Maybe. Like vaguely, it'd be like a book category.
Yeah,
I guess.
Okay, but yeah, man, Spurgeon is huge. I think just from, I mean, what a sick man he was. I mean, he got saved because a snowstorm started and he walked into a church. I mean, God's providence provided him to be saved.
Yeah,
crazy.
Yeah, so we can go ahead and go there. Book author, like let's put book author study tool in the same category, because like I'm not like much of an author guy per se.
I'm not either.
And like, I mean, I could roll through 50,000 books that I've read that I'm like, yeah, that's a great book, you should read that. But I'm not really leaning that way per se. So like, let me give you a couple of examples.
Chat GPT, then, if he was here, he'd give us 100,000 books.
He would. You mean Matt GPT?
Yeah, Matt. Sorry.
You said Chat.
Chat and Matt's about the same thing. They both give a range of knowledge.
And they both will answer any question you ask.
Facts.
So like author book, like study tool, let me give you a few examples in my mind and let you go from there. In terms of commentaries, I'm not like a huge commentary user, but if I need to reference one, I like D.A. Carson commentaries. And I really like the Baker exegetical commentary on the New Testament. Now, if you're like 15, you don't really know what the word exegetical means probably, and you're never going to buy those. If you're in ministry, I found it to be really helpful. I've used a couple of them. Study tools. I mean, I would be remiss if I did not say the best study tool available for all people and accessible to all people is the ESV Study Bible. That thing is worth its weight in gold. If you don't own one, buy one. I'm not stumping for the translation necessarily, although it is a translation I use, but the material in the ESV Study Bible is absolutely undefeated. Yeah. Like, absolutely one of the best things you can buy under $50 or $40 if you find it on sale somewhere that is worth its weight in gold if you want to study your Bible better. Kind of a segue, another thing that's internet-based is a website and an app called Blue Letter Bible. Mm-hmm. Now, the interface takes some time to sort of learn what you're looking at, but Blue Letter Bible, it could be an app or a website, is one of the greatest free Bible study tools that probably exists. Particularly on there is a commentary set written by a guy named David Guzik. He's written a commentary on every book of the Bible, and it's really easy to read, really accessible to all people. He kind of answers every major question you have. For the most part, I found him to be kind of closely aligned with what I believe. Those are some things right there that I have to highly recommend to everybody. If you're in ministry, I've kind of already given these guys a shout out, but if you're like in or thinking about pursuing ministry, a lot of stuff that Nine Marks has to say about pastoral ministry, I pretty much agree with. They've done a lot of work to sort of think about ministry tangibly and what that looks like. They got some podcasts and stuff I'll talk about in a second, but yeah, I mean, I could roll through lots of authors. A book is good or it's not. I don't really cling to authors. I cling to like whether or not the book was useful. But one book I will mention very intentionally, because we were talking about this earlier, there's a book by a guy named Andrew Wilson. It's called God of All Things. It's sort of a topical biblical theology where it looks at the, I guess, like the images of the Bible. So mountains, water, fruit.
It goes through like 30 different things.
Yeah.
Pots.
Yeah, pots, altars. It kind of looks at how these images are used from the beginning of the Bible to the end. And such a good read for anybody that wants to study their Bible better. I think anybody could read and understand that book. It's really fascinating. It really unlocked a lot of things in the Old Testament for me, helping me see them for all they were worth. So God of All Things by Andrew Wilson. Great book.
And it's an easy read.
Easy read. Anybody can read that.
It's phenomenal. I recommend anybody read it.
And if you're an audiobook person, the Audible version of it, which is the first version of it that I listened to one time on a road trip, the guy that reads it is like British, so it's really fun to listen to. It might even be actually him. I don't remember.
He is from England.
I think he is, but the guy that reads it is like British, and so listen to British. I mean, I could listen to British people read a recipe, and it would sound awesome. So.
So my favorite thing to read, go out and get one if you don't have one. Get you a Codex Sinaiticus and just start reading it.
Get you get you an original copy of the Qumran Dead Sea Scrolls. That's what you need.
I'll go off the ESV Study Bible. My daily reader that I do my Bible reading time with is a ESV Study Bible. And just along with the footnotes and all the commentary notes, you don't need commentary or anything else. I mean, it basically explains, breaks down every single verse there, and it's super, super helpful. I mean, so if you need something, you're like, hey, I don't understand my Bible, you don't know how to use a commentary, have one, Just get an ESV study Bible. It's so simple to read. I love it, and I have been using it now for the past probably 6 months because I switched. I was using a CSB Bible before, and it was super helpful too. But I just think the ESV is a step up, really, when it comes to notes and stuff like that. Books, I've already mentioned books from like R.C. Sproul. Those are more for, I think, if you are looking for a deeper understanding of stuff, maybe you are in ministry, R.C. Sproul books are big on that. A.W. Tozer, The Knowledge of God, is really huge, and I think more of an adult reading, though, if you're a kid. I'm trying to think of some guys that I've read that are super, super good for a big range. Can't really think right now. Think about some books, but yeah, those are some guys that have been very helpful for me. If I have anything else, I'll add in. What you got, John?
Yeah, study Bibles are definitely the way to go. And I would always recommend, especially if you're a teenager, getting a study Bible. ESV is probably the best one. But growing up, I had the Lifeway NIV study Bible. Not saying it's better than the ESV or anything, but it was kind of vague, I guess you would say. Looking back now, I don't really use it quite as much, but it was really beneficial for me growing in my faith early on because I really didn't know a lot and it was very simplistic. Now, in some verses that are more controversial, the only bad thing about this certain Bible, or maybe it was Crossway, not Lifeway.
No, Crossway publishes the ESV, so if you had an NIV study Bible,
I can't remember who
it wouldn't
was
have been
now.
Crossway.
It might have been Lifeway. Anyways.
NIV would be Lifeway probably.
I think it was Lifeway.
Or Tyndale.
Yeah.
But whatever.
But anyways, the reason that I say that, though, some verses that were very controversial and I was very confused on, a lot of times in the study part, it would skip over it because like it seemed like they didn't really want to take sides on what they thought.
Yeah.
So that was one of the downsides to it, but it was very good for my foundation of faith and what I believed and understanding things. So if you don't have a study Bible, definitely recommend getting one of those.
And let me offer some clarification because if you just go looking this up, you're going to get real confused. Okay. There's the ESV Study Bible, which is essentially a Bible commentary study tool thing all in one. You go one step down, there's a student study Bible, okay? And it basically has everything that the main one does, but it trims off some of the academic work in the primary study Bible. And it might be called student study Bible, but to tell you the truth, I mean, I use it all the time. Like, they call it student, but it's not written for students per se. It's got less information in it than the main one, just a little bit. Then they have a teen study Bible, which kind of gives you the bare minimum explanation of everything. And even the teen study Bible is fire. Like, I use the teen study Bible sometimes too. So if you want something that's academic and you want to like actually study what's going on in the Bible, ESV Study Bible is the way to go. If you need better help reading it and understanding it, you could go teen or student and be totally fine. But they're kind of three different levels, three different sizes, three different amounts of information. Just for what it's worth. But I would highly recommend all three of them before I'd recommend almost anything else. So, just for what it's worth. I feel like offering that clarification.
That's good. Yeah, in terms of other authors, I'm kind of like Cooper to where I don't necessarily like find an author wrote this and I have to read it. I just like reading good books that people like to recommend.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I read, like I said, John MacArthur, R.C. Sproul. The biggest ones that are influential for me are the Spurgeon Sermon series. I'm not saying people we'll just go back and like you want to read Spurgeon's sermons, but like just hearing how he would, it's good for preachers because hearing how the prince of preachers would teach things, it's just really cool to learn from
him.
So I guess sort of one of the last things we can talk about, this is kind of an elusive category in some ways, but one of the things that I listen to a lot is podcasts. And this is sort of like, maybe people or brands or whatever. I listen to a lot of podcasts that are not Christian podcasts. I listen to a lot of sports podcasts, to be honest with you. Shout out to the Cover 3 podcast, greatest college football podcast on the market.
If you
are a Josh Pate sheep, then you need to move on. Josh Pate is not a ball knower, and he's a complete industry sellout. Anyways, sorry, Josh, I didn't mean to attack you personally, but I think your podcast is trash. yeah, shout out to the Cover 3 boys. So, I probably have the widest range of podcasts in here, just to be honest with you. I bet I do. Maybe I don't.
When you say range, what do you mean? Because I've got like seven of them written down right now.
Of like theological camps. So let me just tell you the ones I listen to.
Let's see what you got.
So one of my favorite ones to listen to, and I would recommend anybody listening to this, listen to these guys. It's called the Thinking Fellows podcast. It's part of the 1517 Podcast Network. These guys are all Lutherans, okay?
The Thinking what?
The Thinking Fellows.
I'm going to write that down.
They have a yellow, like, emblem cover. They have some of the best and most accessible and grounded theological discussion across probably any theological podcast we've ever listened to. Love listening to those guys.
I love their name.
And they are, they are Lutheran, and so they talk about some Lutheran things. And it's fine. I mean, they'll be Lutherans in heaven, whatever. But like, thinking about a post-Christian West, identifying the Antichrist.
I don't know the Antichrist.
Can Christians use lethal force? The worst phrases Christians use. Why Mormonism isn't Christianity.
Amen.
What Christians should know about Islam. They talked about some of the early church fathers. Was Peter the first pope? Does Christianity have a reliable morality? Can you trust the Bible? They talk about these kind of things, and they just have such helpful conversations. There's lots of dudes on that team that are wildly, they're just really super smart. I listened to Nine Marks Pastors Talk, where they talk about pastoral things, why pastors should teach their job description, religious liberty, persecution and missions, protesting, fighting boredom and repetition, how to do weddings, how to perform the ordinances. Really helpful for me as someone who works professionally in ministry. I go back and forth on listening to the Bible Project podcast.
Dang it.
It's really dense. Like, it can be really dense. I think you gotta scroll through their feed and find topics that interest you, because they can go into the major weeds. And Bible Project, I do really like them. They have some really helpful things. I would recommend them generally. But I will say that I think Tim Mackey sometimes goes a little too deep on stuff. I think he overthinks a lot of things. So I wouldn't endorse everything he says. But in general, I really like their
stuff. One of the things I really like about Bible Project is how they make those videos. They make all types of videos, but...
The animated overviews of
the animated ones,
books.
Dude. They are so helpful. I really like to watch those. Probably, but I'm like you. He will go into some deep.
Yeah, like, sometimes he's like
Hebrew words.
Yeah,
like,
sometimes he's really
crazy.
Overthinking it. I think but for the most part, I mean, I've learned a lot of really helpful things from them. So I have to give them a shout.
Yeah, Bible Project's good.
The only other one I'll recommend is a podcast called Church History for Chumps, and they talk about church history. And sort of like their podcast, like stylistically, is a lot like ours. But they talk about church history and lots of other things. Church History for Chumps is pretty cool. But yeah, I listen to a lot of podcasts, but I kind of listen to half sports, half those type of things.
Yeah.
And I listen to a little bit of current events and those kind of things. But yeah, honestly, man, of all those, I can honestly tell you, I think I've gotten the most out of the Thinking Fellows in the last 3 or 4 years. Like, one of the best podcasts they've ever done, in my opinion, was they did one on basically parenting and Sunday morning and sports and sort of how families have stopped prioritizing church on Sunday morning and what do you do about that as a pastor. Really helpful podcast they recorded a couple years ago, but... Yeah, I really like them. I think they're really smart and they're pretty grounded. But I'll stop monologuing. Those are my podcasts.
Yeah, I'll go next. Cooper talked about him at the very beginning, but the one I listen to, I don't want to say like religiously, but anytime he releases a new one, I always listen to it, is Mike Winger. I am a big Mike Winger fan, and I think the good thing about him is kind of like what Cooper said is...
Doesn't his podcast have a particular name?
The Bible Thinker.
The Bible Thinker.
Yeah, he's the Bible Thinker.
Well, just know he's
it's
gonna,
like a it's like a blue logo with like his face on it.
Just know he's going to think for hours at a time.
Yeah,
that's part of the reason why I don't probably listen to him as often as I should. I kind of find clips because everything he says takes him 3 hours to say. But
the thing I love the most about him though is he is just real about everything,
and like, he will answer literally any question.
Any question. Every Friday he takes a question and answer type thing, and there's 10 questions he does,
and he takes them live.
Takes them live, dude. Just off the dome. And, I mean, he'll be quoting scripture like crazy. He's really good at it. But I love the thing about him. He will straight up be like, you know, I really don't know the answer to this. Here's where I'm leaning. Let me get back to you next week and let me do some. And he'll do like 72 hours of research on a topic just to make sure he answers the question. Yeah. And so that's why. And, you know, he will straight up tell you like, listen, I'm in the minority on this view. A lot of people don't agree with it, but here's what I'm thinking. And here's where I get the scripture from. But he never, like, even when he plants his flag, he's not arrogant enough to say, like, and you better believe this. He's even willing to say.
Super humble guy. I agree.
There are so many times he's like, and I'd be willing to change my view on that if somebody gave me better evidence, but right now that's where I'm at. And I love that because that's how I am too.
And he has a cat. Shout out cats. Also have a cat. I'm a cat dad. If you hate cats, I hate you. Anyways.
His cat's always getting in the screen.
Yeah, cats are goated. If you don't like cats,
one podcast. If you do not listen to podcasts and want to start, the Bible Thinker, Mike Winger, solid. I love him. Don't really recommend listening to the ones where he's calling out these pastors out in California because those are like 4 hours of church abuse stuff. It's a lot.
And he's right about everything he says.
He is right. Yeah.
I mean, I knew that Bethel Church sucked 10 years ago. I don't need Mike Winger to prove it to me.
Yeah, he's basically calling out like church abuse scandals that are happening.
Which is
good. He needs to do that.
Which are terrible. But yeah, not really necessary for me to listen to.
Yeah. Doesn't really affect us super, super big. So another one I got, you mentioned Bible Project. This is going to sound really cheesy because this is like very generic. GotQuestions.com or .org.
Do they have a podcast?
They don't have a podcast, but just the website.
Oh, their website? Yes, I forgot to mention that. If you have never used Got Questions,
Enduring Word is
got to use it.
Enduring Word is good.
That would be David Guzik.
Yeah.
Who writes a commentary on Blue Ridge Bible.
Got Questions is
fire. Even,
I mean, I go to it all the time whenever I'm like, I want to get a little more information on this.
I still use it. I use it so good. I use it like maybe once every couple weeks, man. Got Questions is fire.
It's easy to read.
Shout out Adam Evett who showed me what Got Questions was in high school.
Yeah, Got Questions is very, very good. Like you can type in any theological question, and more than likely gotquestions.org has answered that question.
Answered it or answered something very adjacent
to
it. Yeah.
They're really good. I've come across this on YouTube, actually. I haven't even done it on the podcast. It's called The Bible Show. Have y'all heard of this one?
The Bible Show. I have not.
The Bible Show. Okay.
Nice job for John letting me talk about podcasts for 10 minutes and has decided to talk about YouTube again. So thanks for that, John.
I use YouTube more than I use the podcast. Thanks for
completely... going around the category we're talking about.
That's okay. So on the Bible Show, there are these two guys, and one of them has like gray hair and like a gray goatee. And
thanks for that description, that was really helpful.
Yeah, thank you, Cooper. Why are you getting on to me right now? they're really good, the Bible Show. Y'all ever listened to The Beat by Alan Parr?
On occasion. This is kind of a strange criticism. His videos are too, like, rehearsed for me. Like, they're too polished.
I can see that.
Like, he says a lot of really true things. I mean, he's kind of the same camp as, like, Ruslan I was talking about earlier. I like Alan Parr. I like The Beat, like, their content. Same thing as What Do You Mean? He makes a lot of good videos about things like that. But they're really so polished. Mm-hmm. I have a hard time kind of, like, watching it.
Yeah.
Which is a weird criticism.
Whenever I first started ministry, I listened to The Beat a lot more. I've kind of gotten away from that a little bit the more I've gone. I kind of like what you said, though. I think I can agree with that. But I like Alan Parr. He's really good. And the last one I got, I don't know the guy's name, The Wretched Show. Have y'all seen that one?
Todd Friel. I knew you were going to say that. Let me
say this about Todd Friel.
Go ahead.
The thing that I like the most is, man, he will just say it. He's kind of different than Mike Winger. He'll say something blunt and really, like, stir people up. And then at the end of his episodes, he's like, and discuss in the comments what you think. Like, it's like he stirs up the nest.
So Todd Friel, he's a part of this. He has this channel, this brand called Wretched Radio.
I think it's funny.
And he's a pretty reformed guy that kind of just addresses, like, cultural topics. I agree with a lot of things he says. I will say this. I think he has spent a lot of time commenting on and kind of fighting culture wars that I just don't care about. Like,
yeah, he's more culture.
He does spend a lot of time, you know, kind of jumping in the news cycle and having an opinion about like everything a presidential candidate has to say. Like, that's what's fine or whatever. Like, I'm glad somebody's doing it. He kind of feels like he's picking a fight all the time though. So yeah, I mean, I would definitely like lean endorse him. I used to listen to him more than I do.
He doesn't have a gentle spirit.
He doesn't. He's definitely like pretty in your face. And like somebody has to be. I mean, a lot of things he says are true, like for sure. But like one of the things he loves to do is he loves to go and do like exposés on like goofy mega churches doing like goofy Easter services.
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean,
he's almost kind of like a politician news anchor.
Yeah. And
but
it's
for
like,
Christianity.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, I mean, I love to make fun of the At the Movie series too, but part of me wonders how, like, and this is coming for me, okay? I sound like a hypocrite when I say this because I'm number one at being critical of people. John Hartman would know that.
Amen.
I have a critical spirit, I've been accused. But some of the stuff that Todd Friel does, I wonder how edifying it is. I'm like, yeah, man, let's make fun of the Texas mega non-denominational church that showed a movie at their church. Like, yeah, I disagree with that. I think they're stupid, but how edifying was it to make a 45-minute video about that? I don't know. Doesn't feel totally necessary.
Yeah.
But then again, I mean, we've done that on the podcast. We've made fun of people for not moving their membership because of graveyards. So, and I totally stand by my comments. But anyways.
Thanks. Amen.
Yeah, Todd Friel, definitely in your face. He definitely says some things that you're like, wow, my pastor would never say that. And it's like, yeah, Todd's kind of about that life.
I like seeing people like that.
Yeah, that's fair. That's
because, he gets a lot of hate.
That's
too.
Because you're like that. Okay, anyways.
I'm not like that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. My podcasts are split up. I have, I'll call them worldly podcasts, where they talk about a lot of stuff in the world going on,
one
fitness
foot in,
stuff.
One foot out.
All right, buddy. Don't get me started. Nick Bear, he does fitness stuff. Listen to him a good bit. He's real solid. He owns a supplement brand for creatine, protein powder, stuff like that. And he's a believer. So he's pretty solid. He talks a lot about fitness stuff. That's besides the point. I listen to some of Joe Rogan. It matters who he has on. Like, sometimes he has some interesting guests that I like listen to, like David Goggins. He has like 4-hour podcast with him, like 3 times.
Disclaimer, you're going to hear some cuss words.
Yeah, but them podcasts.
We're not necessarily recommending this.
Yeah, we're not recommending it, but I'm just saying I've listened to them before, and they're low-key kind of fire. Listening to what David
I'm not
going
to lie. There have been lots of times when he's talked to somebody that's been a very important interview.
And I'm like, man, that's sick.
I mean, let's be honest. No matter what you think about this person, I'm not planting a political flag. Part of the reason Donald Trump is your president is because he talked to Joe Rogan for 3 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a huge PR move.
You have to at least acknowledge that it's influential. And it
is. Didn't Joe Rogan have one with Stuart what's his last name? Knettel? Is that right?
Did he? I don't know.
You know Stuart, don't you, though?
How do you say his last name? Knettel?
No, he didn't. He didn't.
I thought he had
Knettel. George Janko did.
Yeah, okay, that's what it was. Yeah.
I'm on record not a George Janko fan. And, all right, go ahead.
Like, I mean, besides the point, Joe Rogan had Wes Huff on, which was huge.
Wes Huff is a GOAT, by the way.
Dude,
how did we not mention Wes Huff?
Dude, I listen to Wes Huff because, like, a lot.
You
got to
find anywhere that he is, any video he's been on, any interview he's done, you got to listen to it.
He preached in South Carolina like 6 months ago, and, like, I didn't hear about it, but a bunch of dudes from NGU went to it, and I'm like, thanks for the invite.
Wes Huff is a GOAT.
Didn't even know he was going to be there. But, yeah, Wes Huff is huge. Listen to him all the time. My big ones. I do listen to Mike Winger a little bit, not a lot, just because I don't have that much time to sit down and listen to that.
It's
so long.
Yeah.
What?
You're not that smart. Only smart people listen to Mike Winger.
Don't get me. You have a Liberty degree. Let's not get started.
Oh, man. Shout out Molly and Matt Hoppus. They got multiple Liberty degrees in their house.
My other podcast are shout out, talk about schools. New Orleans, Beyond the Pulpit.
Oh, Jamie my gosh. Du. What a total shill.
Jamie Du. No, but Jamie Du is probably, he is, as a president of a seminary, super solid, super great pastor.
Ryan's giving you a hard time.
And Beyond the Pulpit has been, I haven't listened to a few, and they've been really, really good. They're short. They're concise. They're not like us. They get to the point and talk about it. We yap.
We get to 40 points and talk about them all.
Facts. But that's good. I do 9 Marks Pastor's Talk has been super helpful for me. Beyond or what is it? For the Church Podcast.
For the Church Podcast is a good one.
We all heard him.
Western,
yeah, that's what's his name.
Jared Wilson and
Jared
some other
Wilson.
Guys. Shout out Matt GPT Midwestern Baptist.
The only thing I don't like about that one, they only release a podcast like every 2 or 3 weeks.
Well, so do we. So
we used to be more consistent.
Somebody had to have a baby.
So you
and you, big dog.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I ain't even close to that conversation. But Jared Wilson, we heard him preach in person at the convention or the NC Baptist gathering, whatever they want to call it. I call it the convention. And he was solid. Podcast is pretty good. The big one I've probably listened to the most is called Mission Talk by 9 Marks. If you want to get into, like, man, missions and how you do them and why and ways that can be – what am I saying here? Sound like Joe Biden. And things that you do wrong in missions, listen to that, because they talk about urban contexts, contacts overseas. They talk about a lot of, man, how are we doing missions wrong? They have a book on it. And if you look at it, the local church does missions wrong in a lot of ways. You know, showing up to build a house isn't always a mission trip. That's a helping trip. And so I could talk about that for hours, but it's been very helpful for me to think about how missions work and how we should really do them biblically. So that's been probably the biggest one that I've listened to.
Yeah, that's good. Well, I'm sitting here trying to think of, like, are there other things or people or books or whatever I would recommend? I mean, I don't know that there are. I think probably one of the most important things I could say, sort of finally, even though this feels super obvious and generic, but, like, at the end of the day, I go back to the Bible and say, okay, what does the Bible tell me, and how do I stack these opinions and theological takes up against the Bible? You have to always be leery of following people, because people are sinful and imperfect and will let you down. But more importantly than that, all these things that I'm citing that I listen to are helping me understand the Bible better, but I kind of start at the Bible. I don't start at a podcast. And pretty much the only other thing I'll say too is, I'm not going to go on a big monologue about this because I don't necessarily recommend them, but I read and listen to all sorts of things that I know I disagree with all the time.
Yeah.
One of my favorite books I've ever read was The God Delusion by Richard Dawkins. Probably the most famous atheist of all time, second famous atheist of all time. Richard Dawkins, The God Delusion. Phenomenal book. And he's also wrong the whole time. But the book is brilliant, except for all the parts that he was wrong about. But I'm a huge fan of interacting with things you disagree with, because how do you know what truth is if you've never seen lies?
Facts.
And I'm not saying we all need to go, you know, have a watch party for an NC-17 movie. But what I am saying is, there are lots of pastors and theologians and denominations and theological camps. Like, I don't listen to 45 hours a week of people that are heretics, but, man, you need to know what Joel Osteen has to say because he's wrong. But you need to know why he's wrong.
Facts.
You need to listen to the occasional comments from some other gigantic pastors that I think are a little bit theologically misguided. I'm not a huge Stephen Furtick fan. I'm not a big Mike Todd fan. Like, I don't think they're full-blown heretical, but I think they say a lot of things that are wrong. And you need to know what those things are, because a lot of people in your circle are influenced by them very heavily. So that's what I would say too, is like, I spend a lot of other time reading and thinking about things and dealing with people that I think are actually wrong. Not because I want to feel right and macho, but because I want to know why I think they're wrong. I think that's really important. You have anything else to add?
I don't think so.
No, I think that's good.
Well, thanks, son.
Last thing I'll say, LeBron's the GOAT. If you think otherwise, you're wrong, because, I watched him the other night.
One of my biggest influences is LeBron Raymond James.
I watched him the other night play the game. I forgot who they were playing against. He dunked like 9 times, caught an alley-oop, his head's still at the rim. He's 41. Man.
That's fact.
Only other 41-year-old I know giving buckets is Jason Mills in skinny jeans. And so LeBron and Jason Mills hooping, you can't argue with it. If you think otherwise, you're just wrong and you're a hater. So
that's right. That's right. John, you got anything to say to that?
Not to that ludicrous LeBron statement that we always seem to get back on, but
yeah, we do, because Lucas and I are preachers of the message of reconciliation.
There you go.
And you need to be reconciled back to ball knowledge.
My final thoughts. Find a good podcast, preferably listen to some of these. Read a good book, growing your theological stances. Doctrine is a good thing. It's not a big scary word, but even above just reading and podcasts, gets you a fellowship, preferably a local church that you can be a part of, because you need it.
The Word of God is true. It's living and active, and it tells us the story of reconciliation of Jesus Christ bringing us back to God by us repenting and believing. And praise God for His Son for shedding blood for me, even though I didn't deserve it.
And praise God for His sovereignty, drawing you to Himself so that you will repent and believe.
Amen.
Oh no, did I just allude to the big scary C word?
I mean, if you not believe you are drawn by some part of way, you are low-key a heretic, because the Bible describes it.
Ooh, my final thoughts. Read John chapter 6 front to back and get back to me.
And then read the rest of the Bible and you'll know.
Unless Jesus draws, you can't come.
I mean,
for another day.
Yeah, probably.
Can't come to a party you're not invited to.
Thanks. Anyways, talk to y'all later.
Howdy.